saw an interesting story in USA Today from a couple of days. Actually, it was from yesterday's. Kathy Lynn Grossman is a fine reporter for USA Today, and she, along with Natalie de Blasio, wrote this story titled "A Divide Over Portable Churches, the Use of Public Buildings is Drawing Legal Challenges." Good morning, Kathy Lynn. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for coming on the program. I found this very interesting because since the days of the Constitution, we have had challenges with church versus state, especially when you look at the history of England and how the church influenced the state there. But also when you look throughout the Constitution, God and godlike qualities is mentioned. But when I saw the story, I thought about two cities here local, Williamston and Okemos, Michigan, where I can recall churches had rented out auditoriums in school districts in order to hold services because they didn't hold their old they didn't possess their own building. Tell me why you decided to write the story.
We saw that the number was growing, and you know, USA Today always likes to be have its finger on the pulse of what's happening to people today. And when we see a trend growing, we like to find out what's behind it. When I talked to the Acts 21 Network, which is an evangelical network out of Mars Hill Church in Seattle, which has now expanded to probably 400 startup churches over the last 10 years, 350 of them in the last 5 years, and 16% of those churches are startups are using school facilities. When I talked to Lifeway Christian Research, they said a study they did in 2007 showed that 12% of the startup churches that year were using school facilities. So we're seeing growth in this area. And, you know, multi-site churches are on the move as well. This is a trend that's really taken off in the last 5 or 10 years. And very often they're looking for quick ways to set up. You don't have to build a building. You don't have to build a parking lot. You don't have to go to zoning hearings. It's all there, utilities and all. So you can move in at a bargain price.
And you talk about in the story how the use of public buildings is drawing legal challenges.
Well, here's the issue that the Second District Court of Appeals found in New York. The judge there, and for 10 years, let me just back up a little bit here, for more than 10 years, the Board of Education in New York City has tried to ban renting to public schools, renting space in public schools. They don't use the word renting. They use permits because renting gets you into landlord-tenant laws, so I have to watch my language here. But by permitting churches to use the public schools, their concern was twofold. One, that they were showing favoritism to religious groups. Now, how could that be? Well, you know, the Boy Scouts meet in these places, and the Garden Club might be meeting in these places. But when churches meet in these places, churches are saving a ton of money by not having to go out into the open market. So their concern was that they were essentially getting entangled, which is not allowed under the Constitution, with churches or religious groups, specifically religious groups, by essentially subsidizing them, by letting them move in for just the cost of the janitor and the security and the utilities, instead of market rates that they would have to pay if they were trying to find a location in New York City or in a fast-growing suburb, which is where most of these things happen. The other issue that they were most concerned about was that it appeared that not only were they showing favoritism to churches and financially, but that it appeared to favor to make Christian churches the favorite, because Saturdays and Fridays, when Muslims or Jews might want to use facilities, schools are tied up. They're tied up by their own student body. So Sundays is the day that most schools are available, and it happens to be the day that Christians want. So it appeared to be showing favoritism to Christian churches.
That was
how the judge ruled in this case. But the Bronx House of Faith, which was involved in the original case, has continued to appeal. And for the last 10 years, there's been an injunction. The school board keeps winning in court, and the Bronx House of Faith keeps getting an injunction while it moves up to the next level of appeal.
Well, what's interesting about this, too, in these tight economic times, I'm sure the school districts wouldn't mind the additional revenue, especially to be making money when, any other time the buildings that would be leased or rented would be just sitting there. But it appears that these districts are saying, we don't need the hassle, we just won't deal with it.
Well, actually, to be fair to the schools on this point, they weren't making money, they were breaking even. They're not renting for a profit, and they of course want to point out that they are not renting, which is a whole different legal terminology that brings in landlord-tenant laws and all kinds of other issues, that they are offering a continuing use permit, and those are done for the cost of expenses. So schools are getting no profit from this.
Well, why don't they just increase the fees and at least try to, you know, make it more of a positive for themselves financially?
I think that would create a new legal problem. I'm trying to picture where Church X comes back, Church Y, let's not say X, that has other connotations. Let's say Church YZ comes back and says, hey, wait a minute, the Boy Scouts only have to pay X, and we have, you know, a certain amount, and we have to pay more. So I don't think that's going
to
fly.
And because churches are able to do this or have been able to do this, do you think this has caused a growth in Christianity, if you will, here in the United States?
You know, I bet you everybody, all of your listeners, would love to see a statistical growth in Christianity in the United States. The trouble is, no matter what format these churches are meeting in, no matter how many startup churches and church planting efforts and evangelism efforts I've seen, when you look statistically, you're not seeing growth in church attendance. Everybody loves God in this country. You know, 95-96%, depending on what poll you ask, they believe in God or they believe in a higher power. They just don't believe in going to a house of worship about it to any greater or lesser degree than they have for decades. So that number is not moving on the dial.
Kathy Lynn Grossman is the fine writer for USA Today. You can just go to that website and find her great story. If you Google her, you'll see that she writes for several different entities, and you can find those online. Thanks so much, Kathy.
Thank you.